President Trump unleashed a tweet storm this morning, saying the fake news media hates when I use my powerful social media, and calling the investigation into him a witch hunt.
But in a video last message played at the congressional baseball game last night, President Trump talked about unity.
In Washington, we have our disagreements, but we all agree that we are here to serve this nation we love and the people who call it home. That's the source of unity. And more than ever, we must embrace it so that on this special night, I leave you with three great American words that for generations have torn down barriers, built bridges of unity, and defied those who have sought to pull us apart. Ladies and gentlemen, let's play ball.
Well, let's do that. Let's get to our political roundtable. Joining us, Abby Phillip, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Abby, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
And Jeff Bennett, NPR congressional reporter. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Jeff, I want to start with you because we spoke a lot this week as you reported on the shooting at the Republican baseball practice last night at the game. Mm-hmm. We saw Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi, you know, sitting together, their first interview together. I remember when I lived in Washington in the 90s going to a private event and seeing Newt Gingrich and Ted Kennedy backslapping, you know, having this friendly time. This is when the rhetoric was really vitriolic. And I was stunned and even a little angry, you know, to see that they were so friendly when we didn't see that, you know, that wasn't the public face we saw. Do you think that this shooting this week is maybe going to change the tone in Washington? Maybe we're going to see more party leaders together rather than at each other's throats?
Perhaps. But the underlying issue here, Robin, is that on the actual policies, the two parties are so far apart. You think of health care, you think of tax reform. There really is no tax bill yet, but infrastructure, things like that. On the issues, there really is not that much agreement. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that one of the things we've heard from congressional leaders, even rank and file members, frankly, is that they're really that this really was an inflection point for Congress, and members are thinking more about how they speak to each other and about each other.
Well, Abby, I want to get your opinion on that because Republican Congressman Chris Collins of New York has expressed regret. He initially, right after the shooting, said it was Democratic rhetoric about President Trump that inspired the shooting. He's since taken that back, said he was sorry. Arch conservative Ted Nugent said he feels responsible because some of his language is so vitriolic. He called President Obama a subhuman mongrel in the past. So he's reexamining, doing some soul searching. But former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says a cultural civil war is brewing.
Well, I think that those examples really perfectly illustrate probably the main reason why, even though when some people might rethink their rhetoric here, the overall trend, I don't see it really changing a whole lot. There are very loud voices, and I would argue the President of the United States is among them, who continues to use rhetoric in the political sphere that has escalated conflicts of all different varieties. And I think that, you know, as long as that remains the case, it's going to be very hard for this moment in Washington, which I do think is very real right now, but it is going to be hard for that to last much longer than where we are right now, than 48 hours after a really horrific shooting. Mm-hmm. Perhaps by next week when we're back to talking about the healthcare bill and other, the Russia investigation and other things, we will be back in much of the same place where we've been up until this point. Mm.
And it is a measure of America that we should also note that there was that shooting in San Francisco as well, where multiple people died. But I want to play a little bit of tape here. This is of the president in a more conciliatory tone. Speaking from the White House yesterday, he's talking about injured Congressman Steve Scalise.
And Steve, in his own way, may have brought some unity to our long divided country. We've had a very, very divided country for many years. And I have a feeling that Steve has made a great sacrifice, but there could be some unity being brought to our country. Let's hope so.
But then there are the tweets that we, you know, some of which we've already mentioned. Yesterday, he accused the media of making up stories to, quote, meet their agenda of hate. I mean, Jeff, Abby sort of reflected on this already, but same question to you. Like, what's the role of the president here? What could be the role of President Trump in this moment?
Well, he could use the office of the presidency to do something big, right? To turn the page and make make it work for him without having to use these tweets using labels like witch hunt and other things like that. I mean, any student of history would know that that label is misapplied. Anyone who knows anything about McCarthyism would know that what's happening to him is not a witch hunt. And I think in some ways it's understandable that if the president was told privately by the former FBI director that he was not subject to investigation, he would want that to be publicly known. But in either not knowing about the boundaries that exist or not caring about those boundaries and in trying to clear up that fact that he wasn't under investigation, he in effect landed himself under investigation. And so what you hear from Republicans on the Hill is that they just want him to be quiet and just, you know, follow the advice we assume he's getting from his lawyers and from his press shop.
Well, good luck with that. And yeah. Let's talk about the Russia investigation, which was leaking like a sieve this week. We heard, yes, the news that the president himself was being investigated, not for the collusion with the Russians, but for obstruction of justice. And then news that his son-in-law and top advisor Jared Kushner's business dealings were being investigated. But before that, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein testified this week, and he was questioned here by Oklahoma Senator James Lankford about speculation raised by Trump associates that Robert Mueller, the special counsel that Rosenstein hired to take over the FBI Russia investigation when James Comey was fired, that Mueller himself might be fired. Let's listen.
Is there anything to some secret plan that's out there from you or anyone in the administration to try to go and remove the special counsel?
There is no secret plan that involves me, no, Senator.
So, Abby, I want you to take up the next event that happened, and you need a whiteboard for this. But there was this remarkable statement last night in which Rosenstein warned Americans to be skeptical about media reports citing anonymous officials. And this came just a few hours after the Washington Post reported that Special Counsel Mueller is investigating the business dealings of Jared Kushner. What do you make of that from Rosenstein?
Well, to add to the confusion, I will say that it's still a little bit unclear what Rosenstein's statement was even referring to, whether it was the Washington Post stories, which we clarified very shortly after, that were based on U.S. officials, or some other story that is forthcoming that maybe cites foreign officials, as he implied in his statement. You know, the trouble here is that you have the president kind of sticking his hand into a fairly sensitive legal matter. And in some cases, he may be forcing other things to happen. So, for example, by basically blaming Rosenstein for Comey's firing, he's putting Rosenstein even more into the mix if there is such an obstruction of justice investigation underway into whether the firing of James Comey was an attempt by President Trump to squash an investigation. So there is a lot going on here. And I think one of the big things is that this president keeps discussing this conversation, this investigation, and the White House and his lawyers really don't have much to say to clarify some of these comments, some of which are not entirely accurate.
Yeah. Well, let's talk for a little bit about what Attorney General Jeff Sessions said when he publicly testified about the investigation. Here's an exchange that Sessions had with Oregon Democrat Senator Ron Wyden about the fact that the Attorney General has recused himself from the Russia investigation.
Respectfully, you're not answering the
question. Well, what is the question?
The question is, Mr. Comey said that there were matters with respect to the recusal that were problematic and he couldn't talk about them. What are they?
Why don't you tell me? They are none, Senator Wyden. There are none.
Jeff, let me ask you. I mean, there was also all the exchanges about whether or not Sessions was invoking executive privilege. He said he wasn't, right. But then there was Justice Department, some sort of guidance that he talked about. I mean, what do you make about all that?
Well, you know, the Democrats on that committee certainly were not pleased with what Attorney General Sessions did not say. There are all sorts of questions about his meetings with the Russian ambassador, about his proper recusal. I think Sessions tried to emerge from that session without having saying anything that would come back to haunt him, you know, in 30-second sound bites on cable TV. And I think that's what he was trying to get at, and that was his end goal.
Well, you know, you guys, we only got about a minute left here. You know what bugs me? This is – what week is this that we're still talking about the Russia investigation, and we have not mentioned that President Trump authorized his defense secretary to set troop levels in Afghanistan, or there is secret negotiations on the health care bill that's
in the Senate, kind of
ruffling feathers of both Republicans and Democrats, or that President Trump is rolling back some of the Obama era loosening of restrictions on travel to Cuba. I mean, just comment on that, Abby. Nothing else getting talked about.
Yeah, and beyond that, the federal agencies are actively working to roll back civil rights offices across the federal government. There has been some activity on immigration in the last week. There's a lot going on, some of which is very important that we are not talking about. And frankly, the White House wants everyone to actually be talking about the things that they're doing, but Trump is the one who refuses to do that.
Let's pledge to do it next time. Abby Philip, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Jeff Bennett, NPR congressional reporter. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.